Father. But as you grow and you mature, your love for your parent, for your father, will overcome the fear of discipline from a whipping. So we make choices. Sometimes bad choices leads to more bad choices. For example, in 2 Samuel 11 and verse 1, beginning in the New American Standard Version, we have where David sins. He commits adultery with Bathsheba. And I'll read these scriptures in 2 Samuel 11, beginning in verse 1. He made a bad choice, didn't he? Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David stayed at Jerusalem. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and he walked around on the roof of the king's house. You see, back in those days, the roofs were flat. And you could get up in Belize, most cases, the roofs are flat. And they'll take rebar, and you'll be going down the road and you'll see a flat concrete roof and rebar sticking up several feet above it. Why? Well, if they decide they want to build another room on their house, they already have the rebar. And they just put the concrete around it to withstand hurricanes. And so their roofs, many of theirs is flat, just like in the days of David. And so David, he gets up. It said the evening came, he arose in verse 2 from his bed and he walked around on the roof of the king's house and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam?" Now notice these names, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And David sent messengers and took her, and when she came, he inquired who she was, and it was revealed to him who she was. She was the daughter of Eliam. She was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So David, it didn't slow him down, did it? He made a bad choice. He sent messengers and he took her. And when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house, and the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, "I am pregnant." This is the New American Standard Version. If you will, let's go to Deuteronomy 22 and verse 8. They built those rooftops flat. And the king's house, he could look down and see his house was above other houses. And he could look down, and he could look down upon the city. And notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 8. This is some sundry laws, or different laws, or many laws that God was giving to the children of Israel. And notice what he says in verse 8. God said, "When you build a new house, you shall make a parapet for your roof." And I saw that and I pondered on what is a parapet? A parapet is a lip that goes around that flat roof. And it may be 3 foot, 4 foot high. You could look off it, off the side. But what was the purpose of a parapet? Well, it answers it. So that when you will not bring blood guilt on the house if anyone falls from it. So David should have used his parapet. You know, he should have. We need to make sure we use our parapet in our life. That retaining wall around us in the way we talk, way we dress, way we act. And so these are sundry laws that God gave to the children of Israel. And we can do the same and use these to help us. But let's continue with the story of David. In 2 Samuel 11 and verse 6 through 17, David, he plotted to cover up his sin. You see, one bad choice led to another bad choice. So, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, when that didn't work, I once did a lesson on the righteousness of Uriah the Hittite. You think about it. But whenever David tried to get Uriah the Hittite to go into his wife, and he didn't because his fellow soldiers were out in the field, David, what did he do? One choice led to another bad choice. He had him killed. He had him murdered. Did David know who Uriah the Hittite was? Well, if you will, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, yes, David knew who Uriah the Hittite was. In fact, he was very close to him. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, very last verse of this chapter, there were 37 mighty men that David had. And the 37th one named was Uriah the Hittite. If you go back up to verse 35 or 34, it names another one of these 37 mighty men. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel. So Eliam was one of the mighty men. Who was Eliam? He was the father of Bathsheba. Who was Ahithophel? He was the grandfather of Bathsheba. And so David knew all of this. David made a bad choice. And sometimes bad choices that we make causes consequences upon someone else. In 2 Samuel 23 and verse 34, Eliam was the son of Ahithophel. And it continues. In 2 Samuel 15 and verse 12, Absalom decided he was the son of David, and he wanted to take David's kingdom. And he knew that Ahithophel, who was the grandfather of Bathsheba, and he was one of David's counselors in 2 Samuel 15 and verse 12. So by being a counselor for David, he would know a lot of David's tendencies. And if you want to take the kingdom away from your father, you want to surround yourself with people that know concerning who David is. So he goes to Absalom goes to Ahithophel. In 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 23, what happens during this time, Ahithophel teams up with Absalom. It seems inferred that he wasn't pleased with David because of what David did to his granddaughter. So he teams up with Absalom. And after a while, Absalom stopped taking the advice of Ahithophel. And now where do you go if you're Ahithophel? It seems you're backed in a corner. You can't go back to David because you defected from him. You can't stay with Absalom because he won't take your advice anymore. So you feel like you're worthless. And so what did he do? 2 Samuel 17 and verse 23, Ahithophel, he saw that the counsel or the advice that he was given to Absalom was not followed, so he saddled his donkey. He arose and he went to his home, to his city. He set his house in order, and he strangled himself. He hung himself, the New American Standard. So one bad choice led to another. And I tell you this, we make choices each and every day. And sometimes we're the recipient of someone else's choices. For example, at an intersection on the highway, and you stop at a stop sign or traffic light, and you're obeying the law, and you pull out. This past summer, there was a young man that did the lecture, the truth lectures, in Athens. He had his wife and some children back in Arkansas, Oklahoma. And the night he pulled out, he had the green light. A man run the traffic light and killed him instant. It was asked to the man that killed him, "What was your hurry?" He said, "I was excited. My son had come home after he'd been gone a month, and I wasn't paying attention." He made a bad choice. Someone else reaped a bad repercussion of that choice. And you say, "Well, that's just not fair." Well, life is not fair. If life was fair, we would have been the one to die on the cross instead of Jesus. But life is not fair. Jesus allows us to make the choice whether to obey or not. And you say, look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we have to make a choice as people of the earth. As we mentioned earlier, if God didn't spare the angels at sin, there's no indication they have a Savior. We do. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, "To give you who are troubled, you brethren at Thessalonica," Paul said, "you rest with us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel." Even though we might die instant from someone else's choice or decision, and we're not in a saved condition, you say, "Well, that's just not fair. I didn't have time." But we know that we must obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. "These will go away. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." I just thank God that I had the opportunity to hear the gospel and obey it. Can you imagine what we have? So we have to make good choices. Good choices. In closing, I'll tell about Peter. Peter, on the night of Jesus' betrayal, he denied Jesus three times. Two of those that caused him to deny was a servant girl, a great apostle. Succumbed to the pressure of a servant girl, and he denied Jesus three times. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, this is my thoughts. Jesus had come to Peter and some of the other disciples in verse 15 of John 21, and he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you agape me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I philio you." A different Greek word for love. And notice what Jesus said to him in conclusion of verse 15 to Peter, he said, tend my lambs. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, Peter was an elder. And here Jesus says to him, he knows that he will one day be an elder. He said, you tend my lambs. A lamb is a baby sheep. And I know I served as an elder for years. And it's not an easy situation. It's a good work. But you're going to have lambs in a congregation. You're going to have sheep. A lamb is a baby sheep. And he says, tend them, take care of them. Then he goes down and he asks him again about loving. And then he says in verse 16, shepherd my sheep, Peter. You lead them unto green pastures. You shepherd. You take care of them. Then he says in verse 17, he said again to tend my sheep. He said tend my lambs in 15. Shepherd in 16. Tend the sheep. That's the entire congregation. But he did that because Peter had denied him three times. And now he acknowledged that he loved him. And he was using the wrong Greek word. But Peter got the message. So he made a good choice. So if you're here this morning and you need to make a choice concerning God's word, you have the opportunity and the privilege to do so. And we encourage you to do so as we stand and sing.
Heavenly Father, as we come to this time, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to come to thy house to have another study from thy word. We thank you for Brother Alton and the lesson he's brought to us today. We pray, dear Lord, you will apply this lesson to our hearts that we may be a servant for thee. We thank you, dear Lord, for the ones that have been mentioned and are having health problems. We thank you for the ones that have had surgeries and are back with us at this time. We pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to bless us as we continue our services here today. We pray that you will forgive us of our sins. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.